and I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for a church that I can come to that allow me to be their pastor. I don't always do everything right, and sometimes we try things and they don't go well, and then you allow me to grow up and mature. You know, I had hair when I came here 20 years ago. My voice has changed in the last month or two, and you've allowed me to grow up, and you've allowed me to mature in ministry. And I can honestly say I'm a different pastor than I was 5 years ago, really. I'm not the same pastor. And I hope to God be the glory that it's by His grace that God is changing me, and I want to be that way. I'm learning a lot. One of the things I'm grateful for is the Word of God that teaches me by the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes me into the pathway that He wants me to go, and I believe that we as a church are really getting into that pathway. We are moving into where God wants us to go. And I want to say this, which I rarely say, and I don't say it very often, and not nearly like I should, but I'm very thankful for a godly staff. I really, really love these men dearly, and their wives, and what they do for our church. You guys don't know. I mean, if you only knew what their salary is, you would be embarrassed. But, you know, we pay them pittance, and they work as if we paid them billions. I mean, they work extremely hard. I don't complain, they just work. You know, and I'm very grateful for men like that. I mean, I don't know how that happened. You know, some guys are always telling me about how, you know, they tell me about all these staff problems. Can you get your guys to work? I don't have that problem. I don't know, maybe I'm too stupid to see it, but I don't have it, okay? You know, I'm always trying to tell them, go home, you know, go home. And I appreciate that. And their wives, I mean, they sacrifice. It's not easy to pastor in the Bay Area. I mean, you know, we have such a conservative, God-fearing area here. And it's not easy to pastor in this area. It's not like Atlanta or Kentucky, okay? But, you know, it's where God's called us. And we just kind of unite together. One of the things we started, and I even confess to you that we have not been praying as we should as a church. And we started having Tuesday morning prayer meetings as a staff. You know, we meet, and we always meet at 7:30, and we just kind of, we set that side, that area, that time aside, and we meet. And I'm telling you, I think it's really melted us together as a staff. And it's not like we didn't pray before, but it's just a designated time where we just really pray. And it's made a huge difference, I think, in our life and as staff members. And we're very united together as we're moving into 2013 of what God wants to do at Calvary Baptist Church. And I thank you for that. Matthew chapter 11. I think by now you probably have found it. You probably didn't need that much time. But I want to make sure that if you did, you found it. Let's stand together if we would. We're going to read three verses. I'm going to give you 3 points. And then we'll go home. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 25. The Bible said, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, our time is short, and we've heard from our people, and I know there are others that we had a little more time, perhaps might have wanted to say a few more things. But Lord, we just want to give you glory. We thank you tonight. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being gracious to us. Thank you for the forgiveness of God. Lord, I pray now that you'll just speak to us in the few minutes we have here together before we go home tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Years ago, my dad put a sign on one of the Dairy Queen walls, and it said something like this. I don't remember. In fact, I was back there in May, and I went to the Dairy Queen to get one of the English hot dogs, and I wanted to get a picture of that sign, but they had taken it down. But on that sign, it said something like this: just in case we forget, we want to thank you for coming and patronizing our business, something to that effect. And I got to thinking about that. You know, that's really sad when you have to put a sign up that says, just in case we forget, thank you. I often thought that. I said, Dad, why do you put that sign up there? Because from the time that I was growing up, we were taught when someone gave you something, you said thank you. And if you didn't want it, you'd say no thank you. You know, thank you was just a part of our vocabulary. Ingratitude was never tolerated in our house. Yet we live in a society today, quite frankly, that ingratitude is the way of life. You know, we almost think that now we live by entitlements. You know, we're entitled to that. You know, I don't have to have a license. I can drive any speed limit I want to. I don't have to obey you, Mr. Officer. I don't have to do what my boss says. I don't have, because I'm entitled to it. But I'm thankful to tell you tonight, Jesus wasn't like that. In fact, my example is not, and that's what I want to just speak on just briefly. Who is our example? Is it society? Is it the way people live? Is that what builds us within our character and culture? Is that what we're to follow? Actually, tonight, our example is the Lord Jesus. And what he's saying to us in this passage, do you notice what he says? I thank thee. Because he realized that that's what he needed to do, is to give gratitude. Now, some things I notice in here. Number one is the direction. It was to the Father. Do you realize that tonight, the reason why you and I, as have been indicated already, the reason why we even have a church is because of God the Father. Right. I'm thankful that God moved in some men's hearts years ago who were pioneers who could have stayed home on a cold winter Wednesday night, but chose not to because they said, you know, we want to come and we want to establish a church for the next generation. And one generation has already passed and won't be long before the second generation will pass of Calvary Baptist Church, and we'll hit those 80th years. And I'm thankful tonight that there's some people that care enough to come out on a cold winter Wednesday night, or Tuesday night in this case, and come and pray and care for the people of God. But you know, every one of us, the reason why we can do that is because God the Father has given us the ability to do that. He's allowed us to have a place where we can come. And the Bible said that all of us should be those who are thankful to the Father. Paul echoed that when he said, in Philippians chapter 4, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, that somehow along the way, that when we learn to pray with thanksgiving, and I don't mean it that it's cliche, I don't mean it's some catchphrase we use, but I mean something that genuinely comes out of our heart. You know, I know that, you know, I look at what God has done in people's lives, and, you know, it is exciting. You know, Greg mentioned he's going in January 2nd, and, you know, and I hate to see him leave. But I hate to see anybody leave. In fact, I don't even know if Judas was around. It'd probably bother him if he left, okay? I hate to see people leave. But I'm grateful for the fact of what God has done in his life. It's pretty amazing. Came here and single guy, leaves with a wife and two kids, and hopefully we've been able to help him grow a little bit in his walk with God. You know, I'm just thankful for what God's doing in the lives of people. I look here tonight and hearing your testimonies, and I just mention that because it honestly, I'm this is a selfish night for me because I just enjoy hearing what God's doing in your life. I love to hear how God's been answering your prayers and how God's been, you know, that's why we ought to be thankful to God the Father. We acknowledge his lordship. In this case, notice he says that he bows to the Lord. And the fact is that this pattern is all of God's people throughout the scriptures. For example, in Colossians 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always for you, Paul says. The psalmist says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, here we see very clearly that God, just over and over, it's about gratitude to God the Father. And Jesus sets the pace. He shows us how to do it. And reminds us that we ought to give our direction always upward first. In fact, I will tell you this. A people and a nation who gives God praise and glory will be a blessed nation. It just does something to us. Something in our heart that we give back to God our gratitude. In fact, I'll tell you, a selfish nation is a perverted nation. See, how do you know that? You go to Romans chapter 1 and you'll find that homosexuality is a byproduct of ingratitude. And there's no doubt about it. And that's a whole different message, and we can look at that another time. But just to remind you that, boy, I tell you, there's just something spiritual about keeping our morality and our godliness and our holiness right by remembering that we are to have a thankful heart toward God, as Jesus taught us that. But then we look at the dimensions of thanksgiving, and he mentions here in this passage the goodness of salvation. You know, tonight all of you have said, you know, it's a blessing to know we've been saved. And I can say to you tonight, it is a blessing to know I've been saved. I can't imagine not being a Christian. In fact, one day, it's kind of funny, one day we were doing this as a staff, we were talking about this, and what we said was, let's pretend we're just not Christians, how would we view the church? You know what I'm saying? We're trying to like, okay, what is it that we could do to make our church reach out and reach the lost? I mean, what are we doing? What are we hindering? You know, as Christians, there are just certain things we're accustomed to. For example, we can get up and we can sing something like, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. And we kind of can understand what redemption is. But you know, the average lost person, they have no idea what you're talking about. But like the average lost person, he could use some movie or some liquor and he could call it so-and-so and they could laugh about it. I have no idea what they're talking about. You know? So we were trying to do that. We're trying to figure out, okay, how can we bring the message to where people can understand? What can we do? Because there are lost people that come to our church and we want to see them get saved. Amen? But we couldn't even imagine what it's like to not be a Christian. Man, I can't imagine that tonight. Isn't salvation good? Just remember that. It's a goodness of salvation. It's a goodness of God's protection too, you know. Because like you know, as we prayed as a church family on Sunday, we can pray and give Anna to God and trust God to take care of her. Amen. And like we have for many of your families and some of you and your situations, we just trust God with them. That's how good God is. That's how secure he is. It's good that we have that. And Jesus reminds us of that. In fact, you know, our salvation is secure. Do you realize that? You know, I'm glad to tell you this tonight, my salvation is not up to me. It's not the fact that, you know, I work to get to heaven or I got to do this and then, oh yeah, well, you know, now that I'm saved by God's grace, I got to work to keep that grace because if not, I'm going to lose it. I don't have to worry about any of that. I'm saved by grace and I'm kept saved by grace. And I'm thankful of that tonight. And Jesus reminds us, notice what he says. He said, all that the Father hath given me, all things are delivered unto me. Who's the all things? You and I are included in that. But then the depth of our thanksgiving, thirdly, is found in verses 27 there, where he said, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't even understand anything about God until I got saved. The only thing I knew was I was a sinner and needed Christ. I couldn't understand anything, and yet when the Holy Spirit came in and I began to read the Word of God, God began to open up and told me all about who He is. What a blessing it is to know Him. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us as I opened this book. And there were times when I would read this and I didn't even, as a new Christian and knew nothing about, I didn't even know where half the books were, what they were. I couldn't even pronounce some of them. I called Job, Job for years. Didn't get it straight. I kept thinking, I don't like that book. But anyway, the point of the matter is, God began to teach me through the Holy Spirit about who He is. That's the depth of my, man, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad of that tonight? And then through the plan of the Son, Jesus made all of this possible. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He's not talking about buildings. He's talking about lives. You know, we're really good at thinking we got to build more buildings. We don't need to build more buildings. We need to build more people. Amen. You build more people, God will build the buildings. And who cares? What if we have 10 services on Sunday? It doesn't matter. If we're building people's lives, that's what it's all about. It's Jesus made it possible. And that's exactly what Jesus reminds us, what it's about. And so tonight, just as we close this thing, and I know we've been here a while, as we close out, and thank you for coming tonight, just remind you of these areas in which Jesus shows us by example. He shows us the direction toward God the Father. He shows us the dimensions of our salvation security. And then He shows us that the depth of our salvation is secured and sealed by the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us, and Jesus made all that possible. Aren't you glad of that tonight? If you don't know Him tonight, man, I trust that you'll come and meet Him as Savior. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, as we have come to this Thanksgiving service, thank you so much for the many blessings we have been able to hear, the gratitude from your people, the wonderful testimonies of your work and in their lives, how the power of God has worked, how all of these wonderful things that we heard that you did for people. And Lord, and we know you're still doing them. Lord, we're thankful. We know it's all by your grace. Lord, I pray now you'll guide in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Can we just, music play, if God speaks to your heart, you need to come.